I'm on a life-saving mission tonight. Tomorrow night, as I looked over what I had to say, I can't do everything I planned to do tonight. I planned to teach you how to live a long time and cheat the undertaker, and then how to make your money go further. And I found out I had too much of each. So I'll get as far as I can, all right? And then tomorrow night, we'll come back and go further. Now, let's start with saving your life, because that's first. That little sheet of paper I gave you, put it up and don't lose it. And when you go home, study it. The federal government has authorized a pilot project in Atlanta, Georgia, that is shaped according to what you've got on that sheet. You must understand that. The federal government has finally caught up with what I'm going to tell you tonight about how to live a long time. Now, I don't care if you're 90, you follow that sheet and you may make 110. Amen. You understand? Now, any time secular society begins to recognize that there is value in something scriptural and biblical, Christians ought to sit up and notice. You see, there is a looming and even present disaster among black people right now. They're dying like flies. And I'm not talking about black-on-black crime. That's bad enough. But black people are killing themselves because discoveries in the field of nutrition are not filtering down to us at the street level. Some of you people who are school teachers and you're in the professions, you have a certain amount of exposure to advanced discoveries in how to eat and how to prepare food healthfully. But it never gets down to the street level. And I've come here tonight with some information for you, because the black church is the only institution at the street level that belongs to us. And we can set the curriculum and teach you what we want to. Are you listening to me? And nobody can stop it. Now, for 51 years, I am happy to report to you that I've been saving lives. Because I know that my people don't have access to the information in general. And a lot of them who have access to it don't know how important it is. But the third thing is, very few people have attached spiritual significance to healthful living. Now that is a biggie there. Spiritual significance to healthy living and health practices. So if the average black man in America is ever going to hear this, he's going to have to hear it in church. Because preachers are the most powerful black leaders in America. You better believe it. In Huntsville, Alabama, there was a class action thing going on. And some of us preachers were at the table because we are interested in social development and progress. Some of the politicians didn't understand what I just said to you. And that is, The preacher is the most influential black man in America with black people. He's the only one that can marshal enough folks to take action on anything. If you don't believe me, try it. They tested it in Huntsville. And when the politicians woke up, they discovered that they had neglected the only people in town that could get them a crowd. The preachers. And if you try to run anything by them, and they decide they don't want it to go, you're going to have a very small number of folk out there trying to get something done. I didn't hear you say amen. Now, you people in Birmingham ought to know that, because preachers came here and changed your town. I don't think you heard me. Politicians didn't do it, honey. It's a bunch of preachers. And everything that went on downtown in Birmingham was preacher-led and preacher-fed. And every one of those men who came in here, from Bevel to Wyatt Walker. See, I know them all personally because I was with a lot of what went on, listening to me. Martin King, Shuttlesworth. All those people are preaching. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, if black America ever changes its dietary habits, preachers are going to have to do it. Because we're the only ones to listen to. I apologize for the situation. But that's truth. And I've known it. And for 51 years, I have been on the street corners of the earth. See, I've been coming in and out of Birmingham about 15 years. But man, I've seen about everything there is to be seen on this planet and tried to help them with this thing. The question of ingestion. What are you putting in your body? What does it do when it gets there? Still eating soul food? And it's giving them high blood, and they're dying like flies, and nobody's telling them what's killing them? Are you listening to me? Cooking food, swimming in grease. Are you not listening to me? And not putting an absorbent towel on top of it to soak up most of the grease so that it won't give you cholesterol. And not being selective when you buy the oils with which you cook. Not even reading the fine print. Come on, black man, say amen. Sit up and look at me like I'm a foreigner. And I know what I'm talking about is going to disturb some of y'all. But you, if it disturbs you enough to make you live by half of what I say, it'll stretch out your life a little bit. Now, it said the federal government's got interested, and they made a study of the people who live like, and I do mean eat like and drink like, I'm about to tell you. They discovered that we live 10 years longer than the rest of y'all. Government study. Now, how they got interested in us is that they became aware that of what we teach from the pulpit, what we tell you to keep out of your body. And they, so they said, okay, we're going to study those folk. And they found out that funerals at the Seventh-day Adventist Church are less frequent. Now, I'm not going to name no other church than at other They found out that the hearse pulls up in front of the Adventist church less frequently. And I thought you ought to know how come. Now you're going to get mad if I just give you a report. You're mighty quiet out there. You're going to get mad because I report. Then I won't tell you why. First of all, there is a biblical concept of man with which every Christian ought to be familiar. In Genesis 1:26, it says that God created male and female. Genesis 1:26. They were created on the same day. So you men, don't lord it over the women. They showed up the same day you did. Amen. Woman was not an afterthought. She's made right after he made Adam. Bible says he put Adam to sleep and then made Eve out of one of the ribs. Now, if the Lord had meant for a man to have a lot of wives, there were 32 ribs. Oh, yeah, polygamy was down the program. You could have missed at least 5 ribs and still walked around doing fine. But he just took one, which means one man, one wife, and not a lot of girlfriends, but that's another subject. Now, he made man in his own image. That's what the Bible says, Genesis 1:26. If God went to the trouble of handicrafting man with such meticulous skill, he must have some respect for what he made. Well, if God's got respect for what he made ought to have respect for itself. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now in Psalm 8:3-5, what is man that thou art mindful of him, talking to God? Why you pay so much attention to man? He didn't pay as much attention to animals. So what is man, David said, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? I'm reading. Thou hast made him a little lower than the gods. Now that's not what you're looking at. It says in the King James Version, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. But that is an unfortunate translation, because the Hebrew word in that verse is not angelos, it is Elohim. Thou hast made him a little lower than the gods. That's why I am mindful of man, God says. That's why when man sinned, I came down there. I didn't send Gabriel. I didn't tell God the Father, you go. I'm quoting Jesus now. I didn't say to the Holy Ghost, you go. I made him, I go. You didn't know that Jesus made you? Well, you go back and read John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Huh? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. It was made. But wait a minute. There's a tougher one than that. In the book of Colossians, what book did it say? Come on, speak up. See, this subject hadn't gotten serious yet, and you're already choking. Come on, speak up. Say amen. Amen. The book of Colossians, what book did I say? The first chapter, what chapter? The 16th verse. Listen to this. Here's who made you, honey. For by him, talking about Jesus, if you don't believe it, look at verse 14. in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. I better stop there and make it clear as to what he's talking about here. He was born as a creature when he was born of Mary. You got that? But he lived before Mary. Have you got that? Now you gotta watch this. 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 He was here before Mary. For he created everything back in Genesis 1. You got that? Have you got that? All right, hold on. Ushers, don't come down this aisle again unless somebody's dead. If somebody's about to tow a car, let them tow. Because this man's going to heaven, and he's going to stay on the earth longer if he can listen to me. Are you listening to me carefully now? Huh? Firstborn of every creature, that means of all creatures, number one, born. That doesn't mean Christ was the first person born. Cain was the first man born. Abel was the second one. We know that. So what does the firstborn of every creature mean? That means of all creatures born, Christ is number one. And you understand that. All right, so we go on. For by him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven or that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And that's why Jesus died for your sins. He made you. And he wasn't going to shovel the unpleasant responsibility off on the Father and the Holy Ghost or Gabriel. He said, I made him. I will assume responsibility for him. And so on Golgotha. No. And so in Bethlehem. See, I started to start with God. Let me hit Bethlehem. And so at Bethlehem, the Holy Ghost showed up and overshadowed Mary. We're not talking about sexual cohabitation. We are talking about divine administration. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm doing. You see, the angel Gabriel had told Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. All right, now come on to Bethlehem. I had to go back and get it so you'd know where we are. And so now at Bethlehem, the Holy Ghost superintended the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise. He caused by a process known only to himself, divinity to move through the womb of humanity, picking up flesh and blood, so that he could pay the price for my redemption. A spirit hath not flesh and blood. And God is a spirit. So to get flesh, he had to come through flesh, pick it up, so that he could offer it up. And now to Golgotha, where the sun grew dark with mystery, and the morn was cold and chill as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Ha! And a drop of blood framed in a sweaty tear fell down on a blade of grass and mingled with the dew, its message clear. Christ died for you, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and in his stripes we are healed. The manufacturer was assuming responsibility for the product of his creative mind. Don't say amen. Open your mouth and say amen. Heard nothing like that since you've been on earth. Wait, well, sit around. I got some more. Hey, there's more where that came from. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is, if the Lord thinks that much of you, shouldn't you take better care of yourself? Now, he made you a little lower than the gods. there shouldn't be a human being walking the earth with low self-esteem. Look at the price that heaven put on you. Didn't send an angel. Heaven's richest prize, Jesus, showed up here. No earthly father, no heavenly mother. Older than his mother in time, equal to his father in eternity. I said, Jesus, heaven's choicest gift, sent to redeem you. I repeat the question. If God thinks that much of you, why don't you think more of yourself? Now let me be specific. When the Lord made man, he made him a trinity. He told you, in the image of God created he him. Well, God is a trinity, so he made man one. Body, mind, and spirit. He entrusted man with a body, entrusted him with a mind, and he gave original man, Adam, a spiritual nature. Now, what was man supposed to do with his mind? Cultivate it. Just like you cultivate a garden. That's why we tell young people, get an education. Because education is the cultivation of the brain. If you don't get one, large sections of your mental farm will be full of weeds. Uncultivated. Did you hear what I'm saying? Well, cultivate your mind. And there's another word. Protect your mind. You see, your mind is like radar. It picks up from the environment. Anything that goes by, anything your eyes see, your mind registers. You know that? So what do? You have to protect your mind. Because some things going by, you don't want it on your mind. I don't think you heard me. Haven't you ever heard of mental health? Well, what do you think they've got an insane asylum for? And somebody said they're more nuts outside than unfortunate people inside. Did you hear what I said? You better be careful about these outside. Now, you got the other ones locked up, but there's a lot of them roaming around here. You know, one night out here, I talked about all the dead. And I told everybody who showed up, and if you weren't here, you unfortunate creature, I'm sorry. But I told the folk who showed up here, I said, you got more to fear from some of these living folks than you do down at the cemetery. Ain't nothing going on down there. You can lie down at 12 o'clock at night and go to sleep undisturbed if the dead are supposed to bother you. If anybody gets you, it's one of these living nuts. The sanitariums are overcrowded. Can't get them all in there. So you be careful. You drive up behind the car and the man in front of you not acting right, don't you get on that horn. He might get out of there and shoot you. I'm trying to keep you alive. Well, that makes me mad. You better be mad and shut your mouth. And put your hands in your pocket. Did you hear what I said? Trying to keep you alive, honey. All right. So mental health is important. Now, you've read the story of the prodigal son. See, a lot of you read it, but you don't know what you're reading. You think you do. But when I get through it, you will know. Now, what you really read in the prodigal son, that word prodigal does not appear in the Bible. Oh, I know it's on the page, but it's not in the inspired text. You can't find that word in there. The word prodigal means wasteful. And the man wound up among the pigs because he wasted his money and that's all you saw. But why would a man waste a fortune? He's already wasted his mind. Because if he had good sense, he'd have stayed home. Talk to me. And he wouldn't have been down there eating with the pigs. Now, you know, a man eating with the pigs, something wrong. There's a screw coming loose up here. Now, the reason they put that word prodigal in there is because the word prodigality means waste. The wasteful son. He wasted his mind, he wasted his body, and he was totally bereft of spirituality. He ran all the way out of spiritual gas. And it was that man that got up one day when the Holy Ghost looked at what was left and began to stir something in him. This is what you do when you repent. Somebody outside of you comes and begins to stir your mind and flood your brain with memories. And we know who that is. That's the Holy Ghost. He began to stir that old boy's mind while he was still stinking with pig slop. He said, "The servants at my father's house get along better than I do. I think I will arise." Good sense, boy. You finally got some sense. "I will arise and go to my father, and I'm going to say to my daddy, give me a shoe shining job. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." We got a lot of wasted minds here in Birmingham. 6 and 7 miles a day staring at TV. Somebody said that one kid on an average day witnesses over 500 murders on TV. And then you wonder why they go out and shoot each other. Little 15-year-old boy shot his 13-year-old brother. Who got an education, man? Wasted mind. What you feed on will determine your state of mind. I didn't say TV's a sin. I said you sitting up there staring at it all day is a sin. And you look like a sinner, too. You stare at it till you're bug-eyed. And when you look away from that tube, you can't see. You got to bat your eyes and focus and say, "Who are you?" Yeah. Watch what kind of novels, weird novels you read. I'm talking to young people. You old folk are past here. I'm talking to the kids here. You fellas watch what you read. Don't buy every book on the bookstand. And don't dump the stuff in your brain. There are some sick people writing novels. And they like to dump their garbage in your mental can. That's just a couple of suggestions about mental health. Christians ought to be mentally healthy. And there are too many sick-minded Christians. That's a contradiction of terms. All right, there's a second thing here. Spiritually. You know, some folk have become spiritually a wasteland, a desert. There's no spiritual. Oh, they come to church, but it's like machines. Walk in, sit down, grin mechanically. When they feel like crying, "Yeah, glad to see you." No more glad than Lucifer. I guess what I'm talking about is people handling spiritual things mechanically, but their hearts are not really in it. I like what old David said in Psalm the 40th chapter and the 8th verse. He said, "I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Glad! David didn't wake up
look out, see if, well, it looks like it's going to rain. Guess I won't go out there today. Out where?
What are you going to church for? To meet Jesus? Well, he's going to be out there. If only two or three show up.
So instead of sitting there indulging in meaningless statistics, I ought to be glad to come to church. How do you develop spirituality? Only one way: pray, study the Bible, and do missionary work. If you are spiritually dead, you get on a program of prayer, get on a program of Bible reading every day. Don't miss it. And a good way to remember to read it is, remember that the Bible is spiritual food. And every time you eat physical food, eat it with your Bible next to you. And feed your spirit along with your body. And that's how to develop spiritually. But now finally, the thing that most folk have trouble with is their bodies. They don't know what to do with them. And it's not God's fault, because he's sent a book along with your body. Amen. Any of y'all ever bought a new car? Raise your hand if you ever bought a new car. I didn't ask you if the car you got now is new. Mine isn't either. Mine's 5 years old. One of them 5 years old. The other one's 17 years old. And they ride as good as your brand new Lexus. As a matter of fact, I believe I could catch you. I believe I could catch you with that old thing. But anyway, that really doesn't matter. The big thing is, last new car I bought, I looked in the glove compartment, and there was a little book in there. It's called The Bible of Maintenance and Upkeep. It tells you what to put in that car. It tells you what not to put in there. Tells you what kind of gas it uses. Tells you what texture of oil to put in. But you know, I never saw a man who bought a new car start arguing when he read it. What do they mean? Put 10W30 in here. I'm going to use 20W40.
All right, fool, go on. That's why they got so many garages. You know, a repair shop. All over Birmingham, and they cost a fortune now. Did you hear me? So go on, nut. Put some sugar in your gas tank. Enjoy your foolish self. You don't do that. You're very careful with that car. You are more careful with your automobile than you are with your body. That's what I called you here to tell you tonight. Much more selective, much more discriminating in what you put in the nozzle of your gas tank. I think I'd better use plus. See, y'all don't ever buy that superior, supreme. That's too much money. I don't either. You either use regular, most of y'all will use regular unleaded. But all right, that's all right. So, you got a book that goes with your car. Here's a book that goes with your body. And it didn't come from Moses. It came from the one that made you. Now, listen in these last few minutes to a few things that your manufacturer told you to keep out of your gas tank. I mean, your stomach. In the book of Romans, what book did I say? Oh, you're surprised that I started in the New Testament. Yeah, Romans. The book of Romans, what book did I say? The 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Present what?
Your
what? a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let this world shape the way you look at yourself. Don't let your neighbors dictate your diet. Go to the book that the manufacturer sent along with bodies. This will help to keep bodies alive. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the Lord makes a tie-in, and this is shocking. He makes a tie-in with spirituality. A lot of y'all Christians don't figure, well, the Lord doesn't care. Everybody going to die of something, so the Lord doesn't care how I treat the body. After all, the soul is what's important. Oh, yeah? Well, when you came in and sat down, you heard the pastor read a question. There's no such thing as being soul saved and body lost. That's what was behind that question. Your soul isn't going to heaven and your body to hell. Amen. You better believe it. You didn't know your body is going to heaven? Well, 1 John 2:3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. I'm reading it for you, so you don't have to worry about it. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Wait a minute, man. How are you going to be like him? 1 Corinthians 15:51-55. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I said, your body's going to heaven. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. I'm still reading. And you check and see if I miss a word. The trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Honey, I ain't going to send nothing to heaven. I'm going. And when I get there, it's going to be me. I wouldn't want to go to heaven if I didn't go. What would heaven be like with all us floating around there, indefinable spirits? Yeah, I've been enjoying my wife 51 years almost. She's sitting back there, that pretty little thing back there in the wheelchair. That's my wife. Prettiest thing in the house. Been enjoying her 51 years. Loved her when she was 6 years old. Her daddy was my pastor. I pulled a pigtail. She rejected me. Years later, I met her at Oakwood College. And at that point in time, her judgment was better. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Been married that girl 51 years. And then we say, let's go to heaven. Well, what's it like in heaven? Well, I won't know you there because I'll be a spirit floating around. Yeah, well, let's stay here. Amen. Heaven is not going to be a place where everybody suddenly suffers amnesia. All right. A part of heaven is going to be being there with you. And I woke up and shake her. Hey, you made it. Hallelujah. I did too. Then me and you shot all over God's heaven. See, I always figured that song was about black folks. They don't ever care where they shout. They shot all over. White folk got a little corner where they do a little...
a little European poker with a stiff left leg. Let me get over there where the Negroes are. We gonna shout out, oh my God, heaven.
All right.
And I'm gonna know you there. You gonna know me. Now there's a whole lot of Bible on that, but I don't have time. First of all, I gotta try to get you there, get you out of here.
Amen.
No, I'm gonna do better than that. I wanna fix it so you can stay here as long as possible.
Amen.
Thank you for that. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19. There's a tie-in with spirituality here. Listen. What? That's what Paul said. That's not mine, Paul. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Listen to this next phrase. And ye are not your own. You know, the average man treats his body like it's his. And if you say something to him about the way he's drinking too much and killing himself, oh, it's my body, I'll do what I want to with it. Yeah. Undertaker's happy for you. That's why they're down there. Had an undertaker to send me an Easter lily. I told my wife, send it back. That's the last brother on earth that I want to meet. I love it. You are not your own. Well, if you're not your own, you better consult your owner. Ask how to handle that body. Now the next verse. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. You can't even shake that one off by saying, oh, that's in the Old Testament. No, honey. The problem is, a lot of y'all ain't living in no testament. You don't even know what's in the new. Glorify God when you sit down to your breakfast table. In your body. And did you know that 1 Corinthians 10:31 is sitting there in the New Testament looking at you? It says, and I read it for you, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I read that to a man. He said, oh, I said my blessing. I said, man, this is, you think that's what this is saying? If that's what it's saying, it would have said that. I say my blessing. Yeah. Over what? Now let me tell you, Methodist, something that you don't know. John Wesley did not eat hog meat. I don't think you heard me. John Wesley did not eat hog meat. One day, he was invited to dinner, and the lady had the pig from one end of the table to the other. She said, Reverend Wesley, will you say the blessing? This comes out of his biography. Reverend Wesley, would you say the blessing? He said, close your eyes. Oh, Lord, if thou canst bless what thou hast cursed, then bless this food. Amen. And he ate the bread. Why didn't Wesley eat that pig? No, I know. He said, he told you why in his biography. You need to read. You see, Wesley had read Deuteronomy 14. Yeah, he had read that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Got that? And he went to verse 14. And this is what he read about the people of God. Are you listening? This is what Wesley read, and this is what got him off of the hog. Ye
of the children of the Lord your God. Who are you? Who are you? Well, if you are, confess. Say it. We are the children of the Lord our God. And now, hold on. Wesley read on. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead, as an old pagan custom. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Now that's what Wesley read. And he got really interested, he says. I mean, this is what he said. He said, I really got interested, and I hoped that the Lord had a list of things for me to get off of. And guess what? These are the beasts which ye shall eat. The ox, the sheep, and the goat, the hart, the roebuck, the fallow deer, the wild goat, the fig arg, the wild ox, and the chamois, and every beast, you know, every beast that parteth the hoof and cleaveth the cleft into two claws and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. And what he did was sit down and make a list of animals that meet this specification. What you have in your pocketbook is that list.
Amen.
If you appreciate it, say amen.
Amen.
At least you have it. But Wesley read on, because there's some seafood out there. Captain D's. Now remember what this is. This is the manufacturer telling the manufactured how to treat the body that he gave you. Now this isn't Moses. This is the Lord talking. Nevertheless, ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, the hare, that's the rabbit. You rabbit chasers. Get off of that rabbit, boy. For they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore, they are unclean unto you. And the swine, there's your beloved hog. There goes the bacon. Somebody said, bring home the bacon. Don't bring it to my home. And the swine, because it divideth the hoof, yet chew it not the cud. It is unclean unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, not touch their dead carcass. Now the Lord ought to know. Now maybe you are a little smarter. I know what's out there. See? Maybe you're a little smarter. But I don't think so. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Now here's old Captain D coming up here. All that have fins and scales, that shall you eat. Now what you have in your pocketbook is a list of all the fish that have fins and scales. And John Wesley saw this. And John wasn't no Seventh-day Adventist. John was a Methodist. But he believed the manufacturer. I started to say, do you want to hear some more? But I know the answer now. Somebody say, you done already snatched too much from me now. Don't bring me no more. Well, but you were kind enough to come, so I might as well try to keep you alive. Get the cotton out of your ears. Here's some more. And then it says, of all the birds. Now, the Lord knew that somebody's going to want some chicken. So he told you could eat chicken. Yeah, you can eat it. It's listed here. Of all the clean birds ye shall eat. But these are they which ye shall not eat. The eagle and the ostrich and the osprey and a lot of other, the vultures and all the rest of them. Even the raven, and it does all that. You can see that when it's on the list what you got.
That's a fowl of the air. And said, don't eat anything that dieth of itself. And that worries me. Because they tell me at these slaughterhouses that when the inspector's not around, I don't think you heard me. They tell me that inspection is not quite as faithful as it ought to be. But they didn't have to tell me that because these epidemics that are breaking out, you know, and they trace it to... You listen, don't you? Yeah, all of that. All right, so much for that. Read your list, and it'll tell you how to live a long time. Now, let's see about heaven. Somebody said, well, I know it might kill me here, and I love it so much, let me die with my fat back. Yeah. All right, you die with your fat back. The question is, when you wake up, what will your destination be? Now, I owe it to you to read this. In the book of Isaiah, what book did I say? Chapter 66, what chapter did I say? Verses 15 to 17. Isaiah 66, 15 to 17. And I'm reading about the coming of Christ. Listen to this. For behold, say it after me. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. Now the next verse tells you some of them that are going down at the coming of the Lord. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves, verse 17, in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, that's Baal worship. Here's another bunch, eating swine's flesh. That's the breakfast bacon eater, eating swine's flesh. You got that? And the abomination and the mouse. The Lord classifies people who eat hog along with people that eat mice. And some of y'all cringed in your stomachs when you looked at TV that time and found out that down in the Philippine Islands and in China they'll kill dogs and eat them and they become a delicacy. And you say, ah, you say. And then you found out in some places they eat mice and your stomach almost turned over. Ah, you say. The Lord said the pig and the mouse are in the same category as an article of diet. And it says, shall be consumed. Say that. Together. Seth. Cleveland. Cleveland. Moses. Isaiah. The Lord. Now somebody should have read you that a long time ago. Because I know a lot of you love the Lord. But you didn't know that you had to give up the hog, or the Lord has an appointment with you down in the end of the world. Now we close with this one. I told you I couldn't get through. But those Christmas parties with wine, beer, whiskey, liquor. Y'all got enough stomach for that? Let's do it right quick. Proverbs, what book did I say?
Proverbs.
The 20th chapter, what chapter? And the first verse, what verse? All right, I got a treat for you when I get through with this. I thought I'd settle your stomachs with a song from Wiggum. I want them to sing when I come to the end of the way. I want them to sing that one. Listen, wine is a mocker. Say that. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, wait a minute. If you're not wise, what are you? Don't say it. People that drink liquor are foolish. Liquor makes you look bad,
smell bad, act dumb. I ought to know. I had an uncle that liquor killed, and I hate it. That's why I'm hard on it. I love that man. He died drunk. He said, I can't help it. Oh, yes, you can. And let's throw the cocaine junkie in here. He said, the monkey's got me. I can't get rid of it. Oh, yes, you can. And you don't have to go off and get into an expensive program. I want to tell you how to shake up and let you go. Cigarettes. 4,000 cigarettes, 4,300 cigarettes are smoked per adult in America every year. Smoke contains 19 poisons. 19! Next cigarette you put in your lips, you're dishonoring the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You ought to think more of yourself than to do it. I got several reasons why I don't do it, but my main reason is I think too much of me. Yeah, I only, who wants lung cancer? Yes, even the Surgeon General has said, put it on the thing. This thing is a hazard to your health. And people don't even read it. Lord expected you to smoke, you to put a smokestack on your head. And you wouldn't have been having to ruin your nostrils. Get cancer of the nose. Blow in through the nose. You look like a bull breathing in wintertime. Now your wife can't say it because she loves you. But man, when you come home full of that stuff, you're not the man she married. Help the woman out. And you women that are dipping snuff and wondering why your husband hadn't kissed you lately. With those two rivers running down the side of your mouth, you wouldn't kiss yourself. Watch out your bottom lip. Get some scope and hope. In Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, verses 18 through 22. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read one of those verses. There is a text there that says what the Lord's going to do to people that use these poisonful herbs, which is why you're going to stop drinking coffee too. Huh? I didn't hear you. I said, this is why you're going to stop drinking coffee. Verse 18 says that if there should be among you a man or a woman, now you got to be one or the other. I had to say that because you know what's going on. There's some folk who don't know what. But I got news for you. You got to be one or the other. Now, lest there be among you a man or a woman, or family, Lord, spread that thing out, or a tribe, that's what shows up at homecoming, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord to go to serve other nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And if you got a good Bible, you look over in the margin, that says a poisonful herb, like the poppy, like the kola nut, like the tobacco plant. Oh, my. What's the Lord going to do? And the Lord shall not spare him. That's verse 22. Is that right? Verse 20. The Lord shall not spare him. Then the anger of the Lord shall, and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall be upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. That's what the manufacturer said about your body. Don't get strung out on drugs. Now, I told you I'd tell you how to get out of it, and that doesn't take but 3 minutes. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 6 and 7, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's an interesting little phrase there. I don't have time to analyze it for you, but one night you come out here, I'm going to deal with that while he may be found. That's a big one, boy. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You want to get, want to shake a habit? Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy, and to our God, who will abundantly pardon. That's what it says. But this is what it means. Number one, if you want to shake the drug habit, get on your knees and say this to the Lord. Lord, I believe your power is stronger than this habit. In the name of Jesus, take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. All to Jesus I surrender. Take it. That's one prayer. Here's another one. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. This is David praying. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I am like a bird alone on a housetop. All the night long make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Ashes are mingled with my bread and tears with my drink. But cast me not out of thy presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart. Create, 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 create. Take the nothing and make something out of it. You learn how to pray. You learn how to pray. And I declare to you in the name of the God I serve and whom I represent that there will come into your life while you are praying an all-sufficient healing power. Jehovah, who touched blind Bartimaeus and gave him sight. Jehovah, who said to the cripple, take up your bed and walk. Jehovah, who stood before the tomb of Lazarus and said, dead man, come out of there. I know you hear me, because I made you. Even death can hear me. Come forth. And now let me tell you something. That miracle is taking place every day in America. There are some drunkards that sober up without going to AA. There are some drug addicts that are sobered up just doing preaching. Right here in this town, a couple of boys were sitting on the front seat, high as a kite. I preached them dry. These are living words. The words that I speak unto you, John 6:63. They are spirit and they are life. You want to break a habit? Bury your head in the word. Just start eating it like you eat food. And you'll stumble across a text that says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Keep on reading, and you'll come upon one that says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm your God.
I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Keep on reading until you come to the last mile of the way.
If I walk in the pathway of duty, oh Lord, if I were to the close of the day, I shall see the great King in all his glory. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile, oh Lord, yes sir, when I've gone the last mile of the way, oh Lord, I'm going to rest at the throne of the day. Proclaim a glad story. Oh Lord, if I see one of his sheep gone astray, Lord, I know of his beauty. Oh Lord, when I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, yes sir, when I've gone the last mile, oh Lord, I'm going to rest at the close of the day, Lord Jesus. For I know there were joys that await me. When I've gone the last mile of the way, Lord, yes, sir.
Half
faith in God. He knows the doubts you feel. Have faith in God. In Him is power to heal. Have faith in God. Stay on the battlefield. Have faith, dear friend, in God. Tomorrow night in this room, when will seven women take hold of one man, one of the great prophecies of Scripture? On Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night, back again. No meeting Thursday night. Friday night, back again. And Sabbath morning, big baptism out here. Plan to be ready. Plan to be in it. God bless you until we meet again. Now God be in us to sustain us, above us to shelter us, beneath us to uphold us, before us to guide us, and behind us to protect us now, henceforth and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Sing us out, Father.
When I've gone, well, that's mine of the way. Oh, no, I'm going to rest at the close of the day. Ever joys that await me. Oh, Lord, when I've gone, last mile of the way, Lord. Yes, sir.